Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
Oh, hallelujah. Come on, would you lift up your hands unto the Lord? Would you just magnify the Lord for a moment? Come on, somebody really worship Him from the depth of your heart, with all of your faith, with all of your might, with all of your strength. Somebody just worship the Lord. Somebody praise His holy name. His Spirit is moving in this place. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is power. Oh, let the Spirit of the Lord move upon you. Let the Spirit of the Lord move into your soul. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. If you need a miracle today, what you really need is you need to let the Spirit of God move upon you. If you need direction in your life, what you really need is you need the Spirit of the Lord to move upon you. If your marriage needs to be healed and reconciled, what you really need is a movement of the Spirit of God into your situation. Hallelujah. If you're struggling financially, if you're struggling emotionally, and you need deliverance, you need God to step in and make a way where there seems to be no way. What you really need is you need God to move into your life. Hallelujah. I've made it a habit, a practice myself. When I'm praying with somebody at the altar and I begin to ask them, what is it that you need? And I am careful to hear what their request is. The Bible even says to make our request known unto the Lord, that we tell Him, this is what I need. Now I'm going to worship You for it. And I'll ask them, what is it that you need? And really, regardless of what they say, my next question is, have you received the power of the Holy Ghost? Because whether you need healing, you need deliverance, you need direction, whatever it is, what you really need is you need the leading of the Spirit. Because everything that you need from God is found in the Spirit of God. If you need healing, it's found in the Spirit. If you need a breakthrough, it's found in the Spirit. If you need direction, He is our guide. He is our direction. He is our comfort. He is our mediator. Before I go any further, I just want you to lift your hands. Everybody in this place, lift your hands, both of your hands. If you can lift both hands unto the Lord as a sign of faith and expectation that I am going to be moved on and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God. Move upon me today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to turn your attention to the Word of God today. I'm going to read two portions of Scripture. The first is going to be found in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And secondly, I'll read in Acts chapter 19 and verse 2. Amen. Let me just say that it's so good to be in the house of God with you all today. I said you all. It's going to turn into y'all here in a moment. I'm just trying not to be too country on you today, just trying to behave myself. But it's so good to be with you and thankful to be at the Nova Church. How many of you are thankful to be at the Nova Church today? Amen. Amen. And I don't know, all that stuff that the pastor was saying was totally true. Not that he's a liar, but I don't know. I felt like he might be an embellisher a little bit. I was thinking, who is this guy he's talking about? Man, I want to meet him. But I honor him today, and it's so good to to be linked together by the grace of God with brothers of like faith. And I've been thankful to be able to partner with Brother Worthington and to get to know him recently, and thankful for his friendship. And I have just been encouraged. We went out to eat last night, and we were talking about the things of God and talking about this church and what God is doing. And man, I just got excited sitting there, and I wasn't excited over the beef, the short rib, whatever beef, well, short rib stroganoff is what I had. That was good. And I wasn't excited over the Nutella Rice Krispie treat I was going to have for dessert, which was good. I was excited about hearing the things of God that God is doing in this area. Amen. And I give honor today to Pastor Worthington and his wife. Can you help me and honor them together in our appreciation for their leadership, and to all the leadership of this church? I honor you today. Amen. I want you to turn to somebody and say, get ready for the word. The word is coming to you. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says that the disciples were assembled together with Jesus. They had come together, and Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore, they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. Somebody say that with me. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Everybody say amen. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible says that it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he came to them. Now, disciples, remember in Acts 1, disciples were with Jesus, and now here's some disciples with Paul, and he asked them this question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I'll just stop right there so that you can sit down and get comfortable, because God has a word for you. Oh, don't sit down yet. No. Hang on just a second. We're going to pray first. Right, before you sit down, I want to tell you what I'm preaching. I'm going to preach on this word of faith. You shall receive. Now, I want you to get really uncomfortable, okay? I'm going to make you, I told you, you're going to sit down and be comfortable. But before you get to be comfortable, you have to be uncomfortable first, okay? So I'm going to make you do something that you don't want to do, okay? I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to turn to them right now. Go ahead, look at them, get uncomfortable. And I want you to tell them these words, today you will receive what you need from God. Tell them one more time, today you will receive what you need from God. Now, if you really believe that, not just for yourself, but for the person you just told that to, I want you to join with them. If you want to put an arm around them, hold their hand and lift up the other hand. And I want you to just thank Jesus. I thank you, Lord, because we're about to receive what we need from you. We are about to receive the Holy Ghost. We're about to receive direction. We're about to receive joy and hope and strength and salvation. We are about to receive. Would somebody just clap your hands with praise and worship unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody shout yes. You may be seated. You may be seated. Hey, y'all can sit down. I'm just having fun. I feel at home in this place. Man, I love it. That may not be good. It may be dangerous. Amen. Here's Paul. The scripture says he's come through the upper coast, coming to the city of Ephesus. You could preach a whole sermon on the city of Ephesus. In fact, I was at a camp meeting, Louisiana camp meeting this summer, and I preached a little bit about Ephesus. And then I was approached by a missionary who has been a missionary to Ephesus for like the last 40 years. And he, thankfully, he agreed with me. The things that I had to say about Ephesus, I thought, whew, good. But then he told me even more. And what I understand about Ephesus, although I've never been there, is that Ephesus was a very difficult place. Ephesus, I would think it would probably have been very similar to where you're living right now. It wasn't the Bible Belt. It was a place, it was a very transient place. It was a place that tourists would go. Now, although it was very similar to maybe where you're living today, how it was dissimilar is that it was very tropical. Pastor woke up and felt the winds of winter coming and the winds of fall coming, and Ephesus was a very tropical place. I'm not going to get into all the details of Ephesus other than to let you know it was not the Bible Belt. It was not an easy place to go and to start a church and to tell people about Jesus. But here was Paul trying to start a church in Ephesus. Paul wrote about Ephesus to the Corinthian church, and he said words like this. He said, "These people are like wild beasts." He said that about the people of Ephesus. He said, "I am trying to plant a church in Ephesus." And he said, "These people are like wild beasts." He said, "They're trying to kill me every single day. And all I'm trying to do is tell them about Jesus." Ephesus was a difficult place. In fact, he told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 16, he said, "I'm in Ephesus fighting these wild beasts, facing my death every single day." He said, "I want to come see you guys. I want to come have church with you in Corinth." He said, "But I got to stay here, even though many people oppose me, because there is a wide open door of a great work here." I just feel that in my spirit about this church. That even though many people oppose this church, many people would love to destroy the work of God in this church, you're here and you are ready, because you know that although many people oppose us, there is a wide open door of a great work here. Can I get a witness? And the scripture says that while he was in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, that he ran into some disciples. He must have been thrilled after facing his death from the wild beasts. He discovered some disciples. He must have been excited. "I finally found a believer." Now, these disciples, they were believers of Jesus Christ. However, they were not disciples of Jesus. Rather, they were disciples of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the greatest prophet that ever lived, according to the mouth of Jesus. Jesus said that this is the greatest prophet to have ever lived. And John the Baptist's main priority, his main purpose of ministry, was to do one thing: prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. There's no miracles recorded that John the Baptist performed. There's no people healed in his ministry. There's no people who were raised from the dead in his ministry. And yet, we have many prophets written in the Bible, recorded in the Bible, that of miracles that came through their hands, that came from their mouths, that came through their ministry. And Jesus said, even though you could look at the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha and the prophet so-and-so and the prophet so-and-so and see all the miracles that they did, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet because he prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. John the Baptist was called the John the Baptist. Do you know why he was called John the Baptist? Because he baptized people. Y'all didn't know I was coming with a deep word, did you? Speaking of deep, he baptized people in deep waters. To baptize means to plunge, to dip. It means to be fully immersed in water. So really, they could have called him John the Plunger. But that just doesn't have a great ring to it, you know. It's like, is he John the Plunger? You know, my toilet's clogged up. They call John the Plunger. No, he's John the Baptist. Even though he plunged people underwater, he immersed people. They didn't call him John the Immerser. They called him John the Baptist. Thank God they did not call him John the Plunger. Or else we'd have a denomination. You know, they wouldn't be the Baptists. They would be the Plungers, you know. And that just wouldn't be good, you know. That just wouldn't be good. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, you're getting revelation today. Paul runs into his disciples years after their pastor, John, had been killed. He had been beheaded, and here they are in Ephesus, wondering what they were doing there. And Paul runs into them, and he asks them, he finds them, knowing that they are disciples of John, knowing that they are believers. Now watch this. Knowing that they were there when they watched their pastor John baptize Jesus Christ. Whew. What a testimony to be able to say, man, I was there with my pastor standing in the water as he baptized Jesus Christ. Man, you better believe I'm going to heaven because I was there when the King of Kings was baptized. I was there when the Prince of Peace was baptized. I was there when the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God in Christ, was baptized. You better believe I'm saved. They could have probably walked around with this, you know, pompous, pious attitude, this prideful glory about themselves, you know. They could have one-upped anybody. Somebody could have said, well, you know, I've seen some good things. Yeah, but I saw Jesus baptized. And here comes Paul asking them a question, almost insulting their intelligence. And he asks, have you received since you believed? Oh, but we were there when Jesus was baptized. I don't care if you were there when Jesus was baptized. Oh, but we were the disciples of John the Baptist, and we still believe, even though he was beheaded, and even though we've been persecuted, and we still believe. I don't care that you still believe. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Oh, but I was there at the Jordan River, and I saw the Holy Ghost come down, descending like a dove, and I heard the voice of the Father speak and say, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And I was there when my pastor declared, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. I don't care that you were there. I don't care that you attended church. I don't care that you're your pastor's disciples. The question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And their response was one of confusion. And they said unto him in verse 2, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, you could put on your studious helmet if you wanted to, and put on your studying glasses for a moment, and you could think, wait a second, they were the disciples of John the Baptist. They were there. They were believers. How have they not heard about the Holy Ghost? What have they been doing all these years? How have they not heard about the Holy Ghost? But the Bible does not tell us what they were doing. The Bible does not tell us why they had not heard of the Holy Ghost. The Bible does not tell us where they had been, where they had been running, maybe where they had been hiding for sake of sparing their own lives. Paul does not even ridicule them for the sake of not knowing that there was an opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost. He just says, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, we have not so much as heard that there is a Holy Ghost. We didn't know that there is a Holy Spirit that we can receive. And so Paul asked them the second question. He says unto them, unto what then were you baptized? How were you baptized? And they said, we were baptized unto John's baptism. And Paul said, verily unto them. He said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they, who's they? The ones who have been baptized by John, they should believe on him. Who's him? Jesus. He says, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So Paul realizes, wait a second. You were baptized a few years ago by John the Baptist. You were his disciples. You believed in his message, which is the message of Jesus Christ. So you do believe in Christ, and you do believe in the message of Jesus Christ, but you haven't received the Holy Ghost. You haven't even heard that there is a Holy Ghost, and you're still living off of yesterday's experience of being baptized by John the Baptist. So what you need to do is you need to first of all remember what your pastor preached. He preached, there's one who's coming after me, mightier than I, whose shoes I'm unworthy to bear. He will come and baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said, don't you remember what your pastor preached? He preached about Jesus. Don't you remember that he preached that Jesus would fill people with his Spirit? So the scripture says in verse 5, when they heard this. Everybody say that with me. When they heard this. It doesn't say when it was convenient. It doesn't say when they finally understood all the scriptures, when they could finally quote all the scriptures, when they could finally sing all the songs and they could do all the rituals and go to church and know all the traditions and lift their hands at the proper time and shout hallelujah at just the right time. And when they got everything together, no, it says when they heard this, there was an immediate response. If you're taking notes, that's two words you ought to write in that Bible, in that note, immediate response. I've got it written in my Bible. I wrote it years ago right under there. I underlined the words, when they heard this, and then I wrote these two words, immediate response. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Paul said, have you received? They said, no, we haven't even heard about it. If they hadn't heard about it, that means that they didn't fully understand it. They might not have been fully ready according to their standards of readiness yet. They didn't know everything there was to know about it. But when they heard about it, they said, we want it. We want to receive it. What do we have to do? Well, let me baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the promise that Jesus gave. When Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he said, you shall receive. Let me just point out one little thing to you, because there's a lot you could draw from these verses of Acts chapter 1, but let me just show you one thing that's very relevant to the day that you're living in 2021 right now. Scripture says, first of all, understanding the context, Jesus had lived for over 33 years. He had been walking in his ministry for just over 3 years, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the blind eye, opening the deaf ear, and feeding thousands with just a few fish and a couple of loaves of bread. And he's walked on water. He has stopped the raging seas and storms. And he's done all these miracles. And then he's died. He's been taken from this life in a gruesome manner of crucifixion. And now his disciples are scared. They're running. They're confused. They're living in an anxious moment of uncertainty. They're uncertain with what's going to happen to us. If this could happen to the one who was God manifested in flesh, what's going to happen to us little peons of people? They're hiding. They're scared. Well, then 3 days later, Jesus comes walking out of the tomb. He reveals himself to his disciples, and he spends 40 days in a resurrected body. Now imagine this. Imagine that you have loved someone. You've lived with them for years. You've seen them heal people and help people. And they've changed your life and your family. And now they die a gruesome death. But 3 days later, they come back and they walk right into your kitchen and say, "Hey, man, what's for supper?" And then that person spends the next 40 days, not even just with you. He spent 40 days doing other things. But he comes to them 40 seconds before he ascends into heaven. His last moment in the flesh to speak to them. And he says, "I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to go to Jerusalem. Do not depart from that place." Here's the four-letter word he gave them. "But wait." That's a four-letter word. You know, there's some other four-letter words that I'm not allowed to say. That's one word I hate to say. Wait. In fact, the other spelling of that word is a curse word too. W-E-I-G-H-T. That's a curse word too, man. I don't like W-A-I-T. I don't like W-E-I-G-H-T. I don't like either of those weights. We just need to just scratch them out of the dictionary. But I probably dislike the W-A-I-T word worse than the W-E-I-G-H-T word, you know, that waiting. He said, "Do not depart, but wait." See, that's the difficulty. That's where people depart, is in the process of waiting. I mean, if Chick-fil-A doesn't have my food ready in 3.4 minutes, deuces, peace out. Which they've never failed me yet, so. I mean, have you ever been to a restaurant and the food is not coming, and the waiter's not even coming? You think, what are we doing? My wife and I have done it. We just stood up and said, "Let's go somewhere else. Forget this." The departure happens in the waiting. And Jesus says, "Go wait and don't depart." Wait for what? Wait for my spirit. Watch this now. They had been waiting for centuries for his spirit. And he says, "Keep waiting." They had heard as a child at Sunday school, as it were, about this spirit that would fall upon them one day. There were prophecies in the Old Testament that his spirit would come and fill his people. In the day that they lived in, they were not allowed to experience his spirit like we can today. In fact, there was a tabernacle plan that allowed only one person, the high priest, to experience God's Holy Spirit one day a year. Now, I don't know about you, but I would not be able to survive with his Holy Spirit upon me just one day a year. And that was only the high priest. That means the rest of us saints, we have to live vicariously through the high priest experience of God's spirit one day a year. He gets to go in there and experience the Holy Ghost and then come out and sit down and give us a little Bible study. Now, this is what it's like. This is what experiencing his spirit is like. And we have to say, "Wow, I wish I could experience that." But here came the prophecies that there was coming a day. That there was coming a day where no longer could only one person come to the altar of mercy, to the mercy seat, only one day a year. But there's coming a day where not just the male, but even the female, where not just the Jewish, but even the Gentile. There's coming a day where everybody, not just the old, but even the young, not just the rich, but even the poor, everybody can enter in to the throne room with boldness and receive the Holy Ghost. Man, I'm having fun. There was prophecies about this waiting that they had to do. God prophesied through the prophet Joel, and he said, "In the last days, saith God," watch this, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Looks like the United Nations in here, and I love it. He said, "I'm gonna pour it out upon all flesh." In Matthew 24, he spoke of the end times and said, "Nation will rise against nation," and we're seeing that. kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes. There will be terrible storms. There will be pestilences, which that word in the Greek is defined as a fatal epidemic or disease. He said in the last days there will be pestilences in the people. He said there will be affliction against the church. People will hate the church. They will come against the church. They will lie about the church, reject the church, even kill some people in the church. He said, but that's not the end. He said the end is, verse 14, he says the end is when the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world. Watch this. As a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I feel like I'm preaching to all nations right now. Joel prophesied the Spirit of God that in the last days, yes, there will be tumultuous times, confusing times, perplexing times. He said, but God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So Jesus picks up this promise and he tells his disciples, go to Jerusalem and do what you've been doing for centuries. Wait. The promise is coming, baby. The promise is coming. Don't you leave. Don't you leave. There's people that leave because it hasn't happened yet. They lose faith because it hasn't happened yet. But Jesus says, I know you've been through some valleys and storms, but don't leave because it hasn't happened yet. Because it's about to happen. It's about to break forth. The heavens are about to open up. And I'm about to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now watch, I got to hurry because I got so many things I want to share with you, but I don't have time. So here's this resurrected Jesus telling them this thing. And they have the ignorance like I would have had to ask them this question. Excuse me, Jesus, before you go, are you going to give us back our government? Are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? They were under the Roman Empire in this day. They didn't have just the freedom of speech, and even some of their religious freedoms were oppressed in that day. They were not a self-governing body in that day. They were ruled by the Roman government. And so here's Jesus as a resurrected man. You could ask him anything you want. And he's 40 seconds away from ascending into heaven. And he says, go away. I'm about to pour my Spirit upon you. And he says, but are you going to give us back our politics? Are you going to give us the people that we want in the elected positions? Are you going to give us back our government? And Jesus says, you got to be kidding me. I can't promise you political freedom, governmental freedom, even religious freedom. But what I can promise you is this. You shall receive power. I can't promise you that everybody you want to elect will be elected and everything you want to happen will happen. But I can promise you this. If you'll just keep praying and you'll keep believing and you'll keep waiting, that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Oh, I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like shouting. I feel like worshiping. I feel like rejoicing because I realize that I may not have religious freedom, but I got spiritual freedom. I got spiritual power. I got Holy Ghost power. I got the name of Jesus power. Now let me step into my ministry mode. You can sit down if you feel like it, but I'm going to tell you what's about to happen in this room. If you need a physical healing in your body, you shall receive healing today. I'm going to say it again. I don't think you heard me. I said, if you need physical healing in your body, I prophesy to you under the authority of the Word of God that you shall receive healing in your body today. Is there anybody here that needs healing in their body? A healing in your body. Would you raise your hand? A touch of healing in your body. Thank you. You may put your hands down. I had a service, the congregation was a little bit less than this, maybe half of this. The sanctuary is about this size. There was just two sections right here, and I'm preaching. And the Lord stopped me on the third night of the revival. I preached two straight nights, now the third night, and I couldn't get anybody to respond, that immediate response. There was no immediate nor delayed response. There was just nothing. I mean, it was dead. It was boring, you know. And I'm preaching the third night, and the Lord stops me and says, there's somebody here that I want to heal. And I stopped, and I said, awesome. So I said, is there anybody that needs healing today? And almost every hand goes up, probably 40 or 50 people. And I said, wow, praise God. God ain't lying. There's somebody here God wants to heal. And I said, well, God just spoke to me and said, stop preaching. I want to heal somebody right now. So who is it that wants the healing? Come right down to the altar. They didn't move. So I said it again in English as a joke. That you know, because I'm thinking, did I just say that in Japanese or something? Because they're just sitting there staring. So I said, if you want healed right now, come to the altar. And they just stared at me. I said it a third time. Finally, here comes a lady from the behind the back row. She turns the corner and she's in a wheelchair. She wheels herself down to the front. And I began to talk to her. And I was really nervous. I'm not going to lie. I was very nervous. And I asked her the million-dollar question. What do you need from God? I was praying in my spirit. She had a headache. She was in a wheelchair. I said, what do you need from God? And she nearly destroyed my faith when she said, I am paralyzed from the waist down. I have not walked in over 20 years. She said, but I got a flyer on my door. And it said, revival, miracle signs and wonders at this church. So I came tonight. And you said God wants to heal somebody. And she said, I've never been in a church like this before. And I was kind of reluctant to come down. But no one else would come. So I figured I might as well go. What's the worst that could happen? All these religious people, they just sat there debating. Here comes a first-time visitor. First-time visitor faith. She comes down and I said, okay, well, let's pray. You're paralyzed, waist down, 20 years. God can handle that. I prayed in the name of Jesus. God, I pray you'll heal her right now. And I looked at her and said, do you feel anything? She said, no. I said, let's pray again. In the name of Jesus, God, heal her right now. I grabbed her by the hand, trying to pull her out of the wheelchair. She couldn't feel nothing. I said, okay, sit down. She's still not healed. And I stand back and I said, God, what is the problem here? I know you said you wanted to heal somebody here today. What is the problem? Is this not the right person? And the Lord spoke to me and said, she's the one. I'm going to heal her tonight. He said, but I refuse to do it in front of the people that will not respond. He said, tell her to go back home. And if she'll give her life to me in the privacy of her home, I'll heal her there. Well, I didn't say that in the microphone, but I did tell her. And I said, ma'am, the Lord just told me that he's going to heal you tonight, but he refuses to reveal himself in front of these people that won't respond. I said, so you go home, and in the privacy of your home, when you say, Jesus, I give my life to you, I said, you're going to be healed instantaneously. She looked at me with that first-time visitor faith, and she just said, okay. She left. What's the sense in waiting? She left. The next night, the next day, we're having church, and the pastor is, you know, we've had two songs, and it's another dead, boring service, and the pastor goes up to give announcements or whatever, and he's standing there, and the back two doors of the sanctuary open up, and that lady comes walking down the center aisle, and the pastor, he comes jumping off the platform, and the pastor says, watch what the pastor says. The pastor says, lady, where is your wheelchair? He didn't have much faith either. Where is your wheelchair? She said, Pastor, I don't need a wheelchair. I went home and I said, Jesus, I give my life to you. And when I said that, all of a sudden, I could feel something come over my body. And I could feel my legs again. And I came walking out of my wheelchair. Hallelujah. This lady said, but I came back tonight because I want to know what I need to do to be saved. I need to walk in the next life. So we said, come with me right now. We marched her over to the baptistry tank and we baptized her in the only saving name of Jesus. And when she came out of the water, God filled her with the Holy Ghost speaking. I said, you can receive, you shall receive, you will receive, but there's got to be faith. There's got to be a response to the word of God. I feel the gift of faith here right now. Somebody just cry out to the Lord. Lift up your hands and just lift up your voice and stretch forth your faith. Come on, stretch forth your faith. Stretch forth your faith. You may not have a lot of faith, but whatever you do have, it's enough. It's enough faith to respond to the word of God. I want everybody to lift up your hands and just pray to the Lord right now.
I release the revival fire of God upon your spirit right now in Jesus' name.
Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, just listen to me. I'm going to give instruction, and this is what's about to happen, okay? I'm going to make it very simple for you today, all right? He is our everlasting Father who has purchased a gift for us, okay? He is our Father. Somebody say, He's my Father. A loving Father would not withhold a good gift from His child if it was something they needed. And He's already purchased it. Which means you don't have to purchase it. We try to purchase it with our persuading Him, our negotiating. God, if there's any way, could you just give me something? Is there any way, God, if I have to do this or do that? You don't have to do nothing. He already purchased it with His own blood. Can you imagine someone giving you a gift on your birthday and you saying, if there's any way you could just give me this gift, if there's any way, and they're saying it's in your hands, open it up. His healing, His virtue, His spirit has been purchased. Stripes upon His back, the blood pouring from His body. He said, I purchased it for you. The devil can't steal what I own. But you got to believe that it is a gift for you. So what's going to happen in just a second, I'm going to ask. Well, let me go ahead and ask again. If you have a very specific need in your body, and you know exactly maybe what it is, you know where it is, you know the pain, the diagnosis, whatever, and you know God needs to heal you of this, or you want God to heal you of this, I want you to raise your hand just for a moment. Amen. There's hands up in every section. There's healing that's going to take place in this room. Now, let me ask this question. If you have never received, like I preached about today, you've never received the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, like the Bible says, if you've never had that experience, would you raise a hand and just say, I've never received this experience? I've never had this experience. There's hands up here. There's hands up there. Amen. There's several hands up. There's another one over here. Amen. Let me do it like this. There's another here. Let me just try it like this, okay? If you have already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, would you just lift a hand for a moment? Lift it high. Don't put it down. Amen. For those of you in our service today whose hand is down, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost today. Don't put your hands down yet. Hold on. All of you whose hands are down, I want to speak a word of faith. Today is your day. In just a moment, when we open this altar, those that need healing and you who've never received His Spirit, you're going to come down and God's going to fill you with His Spirit. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. Let me give just a little bit more instruction. Before we come to the front, from where we're standing right here, we're going to say a prayer of repentance together, okay? Everybody in here is a sinner. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. We're all sinners. We are all full of failures and thoughts and things we shouldn't have done. And we are a vessel that we need to allow God's mercy to clean out before His power fills us up. There's a lot of people I've seen, they've come to receive something, whether it be a miracle or the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and they're just struggling. They can't figure out what is the wall, what is the obstacle. And I'll stop them and ask them, have you just asked God to forgive you of your sins? See, repentance is a complete abandonment of yourself, turning away from yourself, turning towards God. And you cannot receive anything from God until you do that and say, God, I want to come clean with you. I want to be honest with you. I'm not who I need to be, but I want to be everything you've called me to be. And then when we're done with that prayer of repentance, I'm going to have those that have raised their hand, I'm going to have you come, and we're going to line up right here, and we're going to have some of our leaders come, and we're going to line up in front of you to pray for you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to lift up our hands again in a moment as a sign of surrender, as we have repented to God, and a sign of faith that says, God, I'm ready to receive. We're going to have our eyes closed so we're not distracted by anybody around us. Can you imagine trying to receive something from somebody, but you're so distracted by everything that's going on around you? That's why we close our eyes when we pray, because we're opening our eyes of the Spirit so that we can focus on God, that we can receive what He has purchased for us. We're going to lift up our heads. Nobody in this room is going to pray with your head down today. Jesus said, in the last days, people's hearts will fail them for fear, because they will be looking at the things happening on the earth. Luke 21. They will be looking at the things happening on the earth. Their emotions will fail them. Their fear will cause their hearts to fail them, because their eyes will be on the things of the world. So the next verse says, so lift up your head. Look up, for your redemption, the thing I purchased for you, is coming near to you. See, God makes it so simple. He says, take your eyes off of the things of the world and lift your eyes unto me. We're going to do that today in just a moment. But before we come and do that, I want you to close your eyes where you're standing right now, where you're seated, right where you are. And with your voice, with your words, we're going to pray a prayer of honesty and repentance right now. If you've never prayed a prayer of repentance and you're not sure how, you can pray along with me together. But right now, I want every man and woman, every person of this church, to lift up your voice and begin to pray. God, forgive me of my sins. I turn my life to you. I turn away from my failures, my iniquity, transgression, my sins, the things I've done, the things I've thought, the things I've spoken. I turn from my lust, my pride, my addiction, my bitterness, my anger. I turn from my prayerlessness. I turn, God, from my spiritual barrenness. And I turn my life to you. I give my life to you, because today I will receive your Spirit. Today I will receive your healing. Right where you're standing, I want you to begin to speak those words of faith. Today I will receive the Holy Ghost. Today I will be healed. Today I will speak in other tongues as I am filled with your Spirit. Today I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Somebody begin to say, thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Pastor Worthington, if we have any leaders, altar workers, if we have anybody, I want you to come right now and line up at this platform, this altar right here, and just face out, face towards the crowd. And this is what we're going to do, okay? If you will have an immediate response, it doesn't mean you're full of faith. You could be full 90% doubt and 10% faith. It's not about if you have a lot of faith. It's if you have enough faith. Enough faith. How do you know if your faith is enough? If you can say in your heart, I'm just going to respond to the word. The moment I'm given a chance, I'm going to respond to the word. That's enough faith for God to use. I want to ask a question I feel to ask in my spirit. Is there anybody that needs a work of deliverance in your life? And what I mean by that is you're facing a situation, you're in a situation that you feel trapped, that you can't get out of, and you need God, the way maker, to step in and get you through this situation. Is there anybody here fighting something like that? Would you raise a hand? I just feel it in my spirit to ask that question. There's a few hands going up. I want to speak a word of faith that if you will respond instantly by faith, God is going to step in to your situation. And he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Within the next few days, you will have a testimony that says, I had no idea that that was going to happen. I had no idea, but somebody called me and somebody did this. And my boss made this decision or this happened. And all of a sudden, the door opened and I was able to get through what I was facing. It's going to happen. If you believe it, say, I believe it. Come on, say, I believe it. Okay. When I say now and I open this altar for everyone that's raised their hand, which is just about everybody, if you'll respond by faith, God is going to give you a miracle today. If you raised your hand for healing in your body, to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or for a work of deliverance in your life, I want you to respond by faith and come to this altar right now as quickly as you can. Would you come? Would you come as quickly as you can? Come on, all the way down. Come all the way down and we're going to pray together. Come all the way down and we're going to pray together. Just wait a minute. Prayer team, just wait a minute. We're going to pray together. Amen. Come all the way down. Come all the way down. Step all the way up. Amen. For those of you, and I think maybe the two of you, I can't remember, but there was about five or six, maybe seven hands that said they have not received the gift of the Holy Spirit yet, speaking in tongues. If that's you, would you just raise a hand real quick? There's one here. There's one here. There's one here. That's three. That's four. Five. Man, it's just all ladies. That's awesome. I love it. I wonder if we can have you great ladies, if you can come stand right here. Y'all just take one step back. I want y'all to stand right here in the center. Amen. Just come stand right here. Come right up here. If you raised your hand, amen, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost today. Come right up here. Would you come over here? And y'all just stand right here. Amen. This is why I'm having you do this. This is the most important need right here. I need healing in my body myself, and many of us need it. And I'm not trying to belittle their problems. But more importantly than my knee being healed is you being filled with God's Spirit. So, before we pray, if you've never been baptized in water in the name of Jesus, not in the titles of Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, those are his titles, but in his name, like the Bible says, if you've never been baptized in his name, let me tell you what you're doing right now. You're carrying a burden that Jesus doesn't want you to carry. When you come out of the water washed in his name, the Bible calls it the washing away of sins. You will feel 100 pounds lighter all of a sudden. That weight will be lifted off of your shoulders. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, do we have robes or anything? So we've got baptismal robes, which means you don't have to mess up your fine clothes. This water looks warm and clean and fresh. I could be wrong, but it looks good to me. It's clean and fresh. It might be warm. And we've got towels and rooms that you can change in. We've made it so easy. You didn't have to march through Israel, through Jerusalem, and get to the Jordan River in the desert and get baptized and have to change in front of everybody and all that mess. We got it ready for you. And more importantly than the robe and the towel and the room and the water and all that, we've got the name that will wash away all of your sins. Isn't that awesome? Is there anybody here that's never been baptized in Jesus' name? Would you raise a hand real quick? We're not going to make you get baptized. I'm just wondering, is there anybody here that maybe wants to be baptized? Would you raise a hand? We've got a hand up over here. Praise God. If you make up your mind that I want to be baptized before I leave, you just come find one of these people, Pastor Worthington or any of these people, and you come and tell them, I want to be baptized. I don't want to carry this temptation anymore, this sin, this guilt, this shame. I don't want to carry this anymore. I want to be washed clean in the blood of Jesus. You come find one of them and tell them, I want to be baptized. But right now, we're about to pray for the moving of God's Spirit to transform our lives. There will be healing in the name of Jesus. There will be somebody filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues right now in the name of Jesus. So what's going to happen when I tell you to, we're all going to lift our hands and we're going to lift up our heads and we're going to close our eyes. But the most important thing is this. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. And when I shout hallelujah, everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I shout hallelujah, that is your cue to begin worshiping God with your voice. All you have to do, I can make it simple for you. You can say whatever you want to, but I'll make it simple for you. You're just going to start shouting hallelujah. 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 That word means I give my entire being to Jehovah, to Jesus. I give everything I am. Hallelujah. When you begin shouting that praise, your Father, your Heavenly Father, is going to fill you with His Spirit. And Jesus said, out of your belly will flow the rivers of living water. When you're filled with His Spirit instantaneously, He's going to use your tongue as an evidence of His Spirit. That's why they call it speaking in tongues. You're going to be worshiping Him, saying hallelujah. And all of a sudden, you're going to get lost in His Spirit. And He's going to fill you up. And you're going to feel like fire shut up in your bones. And as you're praising God, God's going to transform your words, the sounds you're speaking, into a heavenly language. Your tongue will begin to tremble and shake uncontrollably. You won't be able to control it. God's going to show us the evidence of His Spirit. Isn't that amazing that God gave us a tangible sign so that we can know I've been filled with God's Spirit? For those of you that need healing in your body, in just a moment, you're going to come all the way up to these altar workers right here, these prayer team members. You're going to tell them, I need healing in my body. They're going to lay their hand upon you, and they're just going to speak the word of faith. You're healed in the name of Jesus. You are healed in the name of Jesus. And as you're worshiping, not asking, but worshiping God, that healing is going to take control over your body in the name of Jesus. I feel faith in this room right now. I feel such tremendous faith. How many of you are ready to receive what God has for you right now? I want everybody to lift your hands. Would everybody lift your hands? Don't say anything yet. Don't worship yet. We're going to do it together. But hands are lifted as a sign of faith and expectation. I want you to lift up your head towards heaven. Just tilt your head back. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. When I shout hallelujah, that is your signal to begin worshiping God, shouting hallelujah. And the very instant you begin to shout that word, His Spirit is going to fall upon you. You're going to be filled with the Spirit. And everybody in this room will begin speaking in other tongues as God fills you with the Holy Ghost. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be healing, there will be freedom, there will be deliverance. In the name of Jesus, get ready. Here it comes. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to be delivered and healed. Receive ye the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Shout, shout.